a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevic. Dave and DeGenevic. Special coverage of the top local story.
If you're just joining us, just jumping in the car, heading out for lunch, I want to bring you up to date on what we have learned so far during the last 3 hours of our show into the investigation, into the hoax threats that put 13 schools across Utah yesterday. It all started during our show on high alert. Forced lockdowns, forced mass police response. Dave, you and I kind of did the loose math on it just moments ago in the break, and we went, because we're like, how many people do you think this impacted across Utah?
Yeah, 25,000 kids.
Yeah, I think that's about right. But then you talk about staff, faculty at schools, the school districts, the police officers who came running from all over the areas that they serve. Firefighters responded because just in case there were mass casualties, there was a massive fire response as well with EMTs, dispatchers. I mean, we could go on and on and on. And so I think there are a lot of people listening right now who want to know when they're going to catch the person who did this.
Right.
Right.
And I think what we're learning is, initially, it sounded like we knew it was a male, and we knew that the IP address came from outside of this country. But it's not so simple.
Yeah. We spoke earlier in the show, right out of the gates in the 9 o'clock hour, with the Director of Communications for the Department of Public Safety, DPS, local PD, FBI, all teaming up to try to track down this person. And she shared quite a bit of information on what they know so far.
Currently, what we were able to find is that all of the calls were made from the same phone number. And as our statewide information and analysis center, along with the FBI, investigated to trace this number, they found that it connected to an IP address that was connecting to outside of the country, not to one specific country. That IP address kind of tagged a couple of different countries. Yet that doesn't necessarily mean that person is outside of the country as well, right? Unfortunately, some of the things that come with technology, as great as it is that people can mask IP address multiple times.
So we wanted to take a deeper dive into that, specifically about the masking of the IP address or the masking of your voice. So we talked to Earl Foote from Nexus IT.
Just because you have an IP address, you don't have a smoking gun. More experienced cyber criminals, they will either tunnel to or connect to the voice over IP server where they're making such phone calls from a different location, a different country. IP addresses and MAC addresses can be spoofed, so they can be faked. Even the male voice that was heard could be spoofed by AI or bots.
What we know so far, no arrests yet. They have an IP address. They have basically narrowed it down to a male voice, although we don't know if that was spoofed as well. We know that the Department of Public Safety is working with the FBI, is working with local law enforcement, was all involved in this yesterday, and is also, as we expand the investigation, the scope of it, working with other states as well, that were victimized, where students were victimized by these same types of calls this week.
And again, we are not sure if this thing that happened in Massachusetts or Pittsburgh was the same individual, if this is a cabal, if it's a gang, or if it's – we don't know any of that. And that's what they're trying to unpeel and figure out who really is causing this kind of chaos, because, as you said, affected – probably a couple hundred thousand people in total. It costs millions of dollars in time, energy, resources to respond to these fake calls.
We also learned that even if this person is out of the country, we talked about this during our show when KSL legal analyst Greg Skordis called in, that there is a, you know, there's a real possibility that this person would be extradited. I guess it would depend on what country they are in. It always depends on what country, whether we have an extradition treaty, an agreement
right.
with those countries. But there's also a strong likelihood that the calls were just spoofed to come out of the country. It looked like they're coming from out of the country, but they're actually made from within the United States.
Yeah, it's interesting that Utah was targeted. Right. If there was no connection to Utah, then why would somebody from out of state, out of country, pick on us specifically? It doesn't make a lot of sense. So hopefully they'll be able to answer some of these questions, because it is a head scratcher right now.
I want to turn for just a few minutes to a very special report. Dave and I from noon to one on Saturday, with a special called The Webs We Weave, The Psychology of Lying. It airs from noon to one as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints kicks off its 193rd annual general conference. You can hear that live starting at 10 a.m. Actually, our coverage starts at 9:30, but 10 a.m. to noon is the first session Saturday.
And what got us going on this story was Representative George Santos. You'll remember he was elected this past November, flipped a House seat from blue to red in New York. Big win for the Republicans. But it wasn't until after he was elected that we learned that he had lied his way to the top.
Yeah, the resume that he hadn't attended college, that he hadn't worked for some of the major financial companies, the firms that he claimed to work for, that he wasn't Jewish, that he was claimed, he said, no, I was like Jewish. I'm not Jewish. So two aspects of this conversation. The first part of our special dives into lying to get a job or lying at work. So we enlisted the help of retired Special Agent Todd Palmer of the FBI. He was a polygraph examiner for the FBI. He joins us on Saturday.
Everybody does lie. And so if you take that word lie and you really break it down, first off, you have to be honest with yourself about what is a lie. And if you understand what a lie is, it's just asserting something that you believe to be true when in fact it may be untrue or less true. What is the intent and purpose of what it is that they're saying? Is their intent to absolutely deceive you for personal gain or personal benefit? Are they trying to convince you that what they're saying is absolutely true, unequivocally, without any chance of being false, for personal gain? So for me, a lie is something that somebody says that they know is not true for their own personal gain or own personal benefit. They know it's not true. They're trying to convince you that it is because they hope to gain something by what it is that they're saying. I think some people get lost in their own story to the point that they repetitively say things to ingratiate themselves with others, to make themselves look better. So not only do you have to look at what is a lie, but what is the motivation behind the lie?
Yeah. And again, if they say it enough times, do they genuinely believe that lie?
You asked that question.
Yeah.
And he answers that. And we also asked him, is there a way that the general public, like just anybody, can tell if somebody is lying? Like, is there body language that goes along with a lie? And we get into that during our special this Saturday.
Yeah. He says if you're a really good poker player and you can read somebody's tells, then yeah, maybe you can figure out somebody's lying to you. But it's not as easy as they shifted their eyes up and to the left, therefore they are lying. It's not that simple, folks.
He'll spell that out for us during our special. We also ask one of our favorite psychologists, Dr. Tom Golightly, to join us for this conversation. So we look at not only lying to get a job or lying in the workplace, we also decided to take it even a step further and say, okay, lying inside the home. What do you do if your kids are lying to you? And what is their purpose or their motivation behind the lie? It's not what you think. I learned a lot from him. Also, what about your spouse? when they lie to you, and what is the best way to respond if you catch somebody inside your home in a lie.
And I learned that you don't shout at the top of your lungs, liar, liar, pants on fire. I learned that, but no, it's actually interesting. Great tips of how to confront somebody that you know is lying to you.
That's noon, Saturday. Hi, Maria. She's up next.
KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City. Listen on the KSL News Radio app and in your car at 102.7 FM. KSL News Radio, Utah's all-day companion for news.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.